Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6. Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Text number 16. Vidvan apitam danuja kutumbam. Pushnan svalokaya nakapite vai. Yakswiya parakya vibhina bhavas. Tamak prapadyeta yatavimuda. Vedvan. Knowing the inconvenience of material existence, especially in household life. Api, although, itam, thus, danuja, O sons of demons, kutumbam, the family members, or extended family members, like one's community, society, nation, or union of nations. Pushnan, providing all the necessities of life. Swalokaya, in understanding himself. Not. Kapate, capable. Vai, indeed. Ya, ihu. Swiyam, my own. Parakya, belonging to others. Vibhina, separate. Bhava, having a conception of life. Tamaha, nothing but darkness. Prapadyeta, enters. Yata, just as. Vimuda, person without education. Or one who is like an animal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All my friends, sons of demons, in this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education, have the propensity to consider, this is mine, and that is for others. And they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life, just like uneducated cats and dogs. They're unable to take to spiritual knowledge. Instead, they're bewildered and overcome by ignorance. Purport, in human society, there are attempts to educate the human being. But for animal society, there is no such system. Nor are animals able to be educated. Therefore, animals and unintelligent men are called vimuda, or ignorant, bewildered. Whereas an educated person is called vidvan. The real vidvan is one who tries to understand his own position within this material world. For example, when Sanatana Goswami submitted to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, Ke ami? Kene amaya jare tapatraya. In other words, he wanted to know his constitutional position and why he was suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence. This is the process of education. One does not ask, who am I? What is the goal of my life? But instead follows the same animal propensities as cats and dogs. What is the use of his education? As discussed in the previous verse, a living being is entrapped by his fruitive activities, exactly like a silkworm trapped in its own cocoon. Foolish persons are generally engaged by their fruitive activities, karma, because of a strong desire to enjoy this material world. Such attracted persons become involved in society, community, and nation, and waste their time, not having profited from having obtained human forms, especially in this age, Kali, Yuga. Great leaders, politicians, philosophers and scientists are all engaged in foolish activities, thinking this is mine and that is yours. The scientists invented nuclear weapons and collaborate with big leaders to protect the interests of their own nation or society. In this verse, however, it is clearly stated that despite their so-called advanced knowledge, they actually have the same mentality as cats and dogs. As cats and dogs and other animals, not knowing their true interests in life, become increasingly involved in ignorance, the so-called educated person who does not know his own self-interest or the true goal of life becomes increasingly involved in materialism. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advises everyone to follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Specifically, at a certain point, one must give up family life and take to the renounced order of life to cultivate spiritual knowledge and thus become liberated. This is further discussed in the following verses. Vidvan apitam danuja kutumbam pushnan swalokaya nikalpite vai yakswiya parakya vibhina bhavas tamak prapadyeta yatavimuda. O my friends, O son of demons, in this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider, this is mine and that is yours. Thus, they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families and a limited conception of family life. Just like uneducated cats and dogs are unable to take to spiritual knowledge, indeed, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savarvana tatra yasyasti yasyatma buddhir kunapay tritaruke sudhi kalatradishu boma idridi itirta buddhe saharle nakari chish ganesh babageshu saeva gokara. So yasyatma buddhir kunapay tritaruke, that those who are involved in the bodily concept of life, Yatma Buddhi, whose intelligence is bewildered, Yatma Buddhi Kunape Tritaruke, and therefore thinking oneself to be this bag, Kupe is bag, which is made out of three dosha, tridadika, tridatu, namely vata, pitta, and kapha. Yatma Buddhi Kunape Tritaruke, Swadi Kalatradishu Bhoma Idrade, and who believe that the place where they've taken birth is worshipable. Yatir to Buddha Sahale Nikarichir, and they go to a place of pilgrimage just to take a bath without hearing from the saintly persons there, then they're on the same level as Eva Gokara. Yatma Buddhi, Yatma Buddhi Kunupe Tri Taruke, Swadi Kalatradishu Boma Ijadi. Yatir to Buddha Sahale Nikarhi Chish Ganesh Vabageshu Saeva Gokara. So they have the same consciousness as a cat or a dog, as a, here is an ass or a cow. Because if you ask a cow or an ass, who are you? First of all, if you have to learn how to speak their language before you can ask them, then their reply will be, I am this body. Now, if you ask a human being, who are you? They'll say, I'm this body. So ultimately, what's the difference? The same activities are there of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, maybe seemingly more sophisticated, but basically the same quality. Now, people, Matirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratadam Adanta Gobira Vishatam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvata Charvanana. So Matira means our consciousness. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita, as we've heard many, many times, Deinosmin Nita Dehe Komaram Yovanam Jara Tata Dahantara Praptira Diryas Tatra Namuyati. That the body soul is in a body. He's not the body, he's in a body. and the body goes from boyhood to youth to old age. And similarly, the soul will take another body at the time of death. A self-realized person is not bewildered by these changes. Now, what's going on in the body? Prahlad Maharaj says, "Yan mai tu nadi grihamedi sukham itu cham kanduyaneva iva koryar iva dukha dukham triptyanti neha bahu dukha bhaja dukha bhaja kanduti vatmanasijam vishaheta dhira." So basically what's going on is that there is pumsa striya maituni bhavam etam. There's an attraction between man and woman and every species of life, or practically every species of life. And that's all that's going on. Why do people stay in their... Why do they want to stay in the material world? Because they want to imitate Radha and Krishna. And there's a little bit of a taste for it. I am Radha, you are Krishna, or I am Tarzan, and you are Jane. I am Mickey Mouse, you are Minnie Mouse. I am Romeo, you are Juliet. That's all that's going on here. Is this pretension of being something that we're actually not. But it's all very romantic. And there's so many songs they write about it, so much poetry, so many movies they make about it. Boy meets girl, they fall in love. Boy, girl meets other boy, they fall in love. First boy kills the second boy, and they're still in love. That's all that goes on. But Prahlad Maharaj is not so sentimental. He's not so romantic. So he says, Kunduya Karya Iva Dukha Dukam. That is like the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itching sensation. How romantic. Scratch me. Oh, I'm in love. So this is what it's all about. But due to that, we're put into the bodily concept of life. In other words, daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam taramtite. The material nature consisting of the three modes is very difficult to overcome because Krishna says mama maya. It's Krishna's energy and it's empowered to put us in illusion. As soon as we forget Krishna, as soon as we forget that we're Krishna's servant, then Krishna bahir mukha bhoga vanchitare. Maya is very attentive, much more attentive than we are. And she's standing right next to us, Krishna Vahira Mukha Bhoga Vanchitare. And as soon as we want to enjoy the material world, then Maya is right there, Nikatasta Tare Japatiya Dare. And she puts us into material consciousness, that we absorb, yes, I am this body, you are your body, and let's have a pastime of Radha and Krishna. And the result is, in every species of life, there is all these romances are going on. But one is remaining simply transmigrating from one body to another without any understanding what life is actually meant for, especially human form of life, to become liberated. Not liberated into nothingness, that I'll be liberated and go up in smoke, as the Buddhists think. Where'd he go? Oh, see that smoke there? He just, it dissipated. Oh, I guess he's finished. Now, to be liberated into the eternal spiritual world where there is nothing but unlimited pleasure on the same level as Krishna. As Krishna is unlimited, so his happiness is also unlimited. So if one can go there, one can enjoy the same unlimited happiness as Krishna does, which is inconceivable. But if it was revealed to us, then we'd give up our material existence. But we don't want to do that. So Krishna is so kind, he doesn't reveal himself to us and spoil our attempt to become Krishna. So the alternative is Matirana Krishna Paratakshatova. We have to understand that Matira, our consciousness, that's all we have, that's the only choice we have. If we want to put our consciousness upon Krishna and his instructions, or we want to put our consciousness upon material energy, that's our free will. At every moment we can utilize it. People ask, why do we come to the material world? Well, for the same reason why we're still here, to try to imitate Krishna. And for the same reason why we stay here. Because Maya is always telling us, you can do it, you just need a little bit more practice. time immemorial wasn't enough for you. It's difficult to become God and enjoy like God, but I'm rooting for you. Don't worry, you can do it. You're really special. You're going to be the first one since time immemorial who's going to be able to do it. Just a little bit more practice and effort, and you're there. So Madhura and Krishna, so the last thing that people want to put their consciousness is upon Krishna, because they'll spoil their material existence. Paratakshitova. Therefore they're reading so many books, self-help books, How to Become God in 30 Days. And if they can't understand the book, then they attend a lecture. Or they read a book, and it says, you are already God. Don't accept guru. Everyone is guru. But then you have to accept that person who wrote the book as guru. Otherwise, how can you understand that everyone is guru if you don't accept him as guru? Or as one philosopher, so-called philosopher, wrote a book, and in the book it said, don't read books. So you shouldn't have bought the book. Maybe you should go back and return it. I made a mistake. I didn't follow this person's instructions. I bought the book. It says in the book right here, don't read books. And his last book he wrote, as I said, I was at a bookstore doing a program, and I picked up his last book he ever wrote, and the book was just blank pages. That was his last word. That was the culmination of everything he learned. Nothing. So taking helps to such people. So later on, next verse, Krishna says, they're blind, they don't know who they are, they don't even know they're not their body. They have a big university degree. They say Oxford University, Cambridge University, Harvard University, Yale University, Princeton, everyone folds their hands. Oh, you must know something. But actually they don't know they don't even know who they are. Not only do they don't know who they are, they don't even know who they're not. They don't even know the first verse in Bhagavad Gita, that you're not the body. And people say, well, how dare you criticize these learned persons, you know. They've spent so much energy. How are we going to accept that this Bhagavad Gita is actually true? Prabhupada was at a university in Durban, and he was giving a seminar with other speakers, and Prabhupada mentioned transmigration of the soul. And one of the other speakers, who happened to be an Indian gentleman, objected and said, Swamiji, why are you talking about this Hindu doctrine of transmigration of the soul? So Prabhupada said, it's not a Hindu doctrine. It's reality. It's science. That how can you say that 5,000 years ago, Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, and he told Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, right now we're on a battlefield and you might die. Matter of fact, many people might die. So I think it's time for me to speak philosophy to you. Now luckily, I happen to be a Hindu god. And you happen to be a Hindu also, so it's a perfect match. So I'll speak to you Hindu philosophy. So Hindu philosophy is that all Hindus have bodies that change, unlike everyone else. Because this is Hindu philosophy. Luckily, Hindus have a soul, unlike everyone else. So in spite of the fact that your poor body has to change, at least you have a soul. So Hindus, at the time of death, they get another body, unlike everyone else, who weren't fortunate enough to have a soul. A self-realized Hindu is not bewildered by all these different philosophies. So Prabhupada said, this is not what happened. Krishna was not a Hindu god, nor was Arjuna a Hindu, nor was Krishna speaking Hindu philosophy, which didn't even exist at that time. And this philosophy is just as valuable, just as applicable right at this moment as it was 5,000 years ago. It wasn't that 5,000 years ago the material world, the material energy was changing, and now it's perfectly stable. Nothing changes here. Everyone here who's sitting here was here yesterday exactly like this. Nothing has changed. You may have thought you were somewhere else, but actually this is where you were yesterday, because there's no such thing as change. Not only that, you'll have to be here eternally listening to my class, speaking the same thing over and over again. We're not this body, because this is eternal. Now, everyone with half a brain, which is not too many people nowadays, they know that everything is changing. It's the most obvious thing. But they're not changing. Otherwise, how do they remember what they were doing when we were 15 years old or 5 years old or even younger? So if they had changed, they'd look at their body and say, what happened? Who am I? What am I doing in this body? Where did I come from? And you say, well, where were you at 5 years old? Well, that was a different person. I was Peter when I was 5, and now I'm John. And 5 minutes from now, or one moment from now, I'm going to be Nancy or something. No, everything's changing in the material world, but we're not changing, and therefore we can remember what happened in the past. Just as whatever's happening right now, if we're still here, we'll remember in the future. Therefore, it's not a religion, it's a science, because it's one thing that applies to every living entity throughout the whole universe eternally. So this is actual real knowledge. And if one doesn't know this knowledge, he's on the same level as a cat or a dog. Or here it says camel or an ass, or cow and an ass. So this sounds very blunt and cruel, insensitive. We should appreciate these learned scholars. They know so much. And Prabhupada mentions here in the verse, Yera, etam drishtim avashtavya, nashtatmano nabudhaya, pravan yuga karma, shaye jagato hita. Yes, following this conclusion, and loss of themselves, they create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So they know so much, and what do they know? They know how to make everything miserable. Just like modern science, they're so proud, they've advanced so much in science. They've given us things like glyphosate. You know what glyphosate is? They have this ready Roundup, this genetically modified food. So the idea was, so many insects are coming, so many animals are coming, and trying to eat our food, let's kill them all. Make it such that they dare touch our food, they die. So they may have this genetically modified food which is adaptable to pesticides, insecticides, and peoplecides. And they spray it. Glyphosate is a deadly chemical that they spray on this food. And the animals can't eat it, because if they eat it, they die. Never mind the people who eat it die also, but that's not important. At least the animals don't get it. Now we can sell it to the people, and the animals don't pay money for the food that we kill them with, but the people do. And therefore, around the world right now, due to the mercy of the scientific advancement, even the polar bears in the North Pole have glyphosate in their bodies. So this is called scientific advancement. And Prabhupada always points out that now they've invented weapons, how to kill people quicker. Every year they spend in America hundreds of billions, literally hundreds of billions of dollars, trying to make sure that they can kill everyone. Aren't you happy? Such a good expenditure of money. Because they're demons. Although they may not think that everything belongs to America, they think everything belongs to them. Someone's thinking like that and trying to make sure that by their scientific advancement they're able to control, so-called control others, and exploit them to the maximum amount possible. Because they're in the Bali concept of life. As soon as one is in the Bali concept of life, then exploitation immediately follows. It's inevitable, because that's how the Bali concept of life works. No one can be in the bodily concept of life and being thinking that I should work for the benefit of others. As soon as one is in the bodily concept of liar, then lust, anger, greed, illusion, bewilderment, forgetfulness, loss of intelligence will direct one to exploit others to some degree or another. Maybe, as Prabhupada said, in the jungle, there are different animals. Some of the jungles are like tigers, and some of the animals are like deer. So we may say, oh, this is a vicious animal. We don't like that animal. And here's a nice deer. We love the deer. But they're both animals. One's a vicious animal. The other one's a gentle animal. But still, they're animals. So we may come to the mode of goodness, whatever mode we want to come. We may, you know, have our napkin in the right place before we eat, so we're gentlemen. And we may eat our dead body with a fork and knife and cut it, know how to cut it with the proper etiquette. But after all, we're still animals. We're still in the animalistic concept of life. And how much we try to pretend that we're ladies and gentlemen, but ultimately, probably gives the example of the vultures, they fly very high in the sky. They go so high, 2 miles up, or here it would be 3 kilometers. But what is their business? Because they have very good eyesight, their business is to look down on the ground and to see what dead body they can find so they can swoop down and eat it. So we may go very high in the material existence, trying to pretend that we're very elevated, but if we're in the bodily concept of life, the result is we'll be like a vulture, simply looking for something on the ground to devour. So that sounds very nasty, and it doesn't sound very romantic, and it's, you know, sounds like a typical lecture from a sannyasi. But I'm just repeating what the Bhagavatam says here. And we said, oh, we came out with our violin. Oh, it's not so bad. Don't listen to this purport. He was an old Indian gentleman, you know. What could he say, you know? He didn't know what love is. I remember one time I was in New Vrindavan. I went there to visit Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. It was 1969. And upstairs was one devotee who was the editor-in-chief of Back to Godhead, and I heard Prabhupada screaming at him. And he came down and he mentioned that Prabhupada was really upset with him. It appeared that he had, on the Back to Godhead magazine, that was all we had, practically had, besides the original 3 Bhagavatams. The Back to Godhead was like the life of the movement. And on one of the covers, he had Arjuna and he had Krishna. And Arjuna was on the chariot with Krishna. And Arjuna was blackish, kind of brownish or blackish. And Prabhupada was yelling at him. He said, Arjuna was not blackish. And, of course, this particular devotee tried to make excuses, which is probably the worst thing you can do when you're talking to Prabhupada. And he's chastising him. So Prabhupada just chastised him more. So I was thinking, wow, I was actually thinking at that time, that's a little heavy, you know, why Prabhupada gets so heavy on it. And later on, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. This is some years, he left the movement. And then later on, he wanted to come back to the movement. He wrote a letter to Prabhupada, you know, I'd like to come back and I'd like to do some service. I was thinking, well, I heard about that. I thought, well, that would be very nice. But then Prabhupada said, well, you know, you have to follow the principles. And then he wrote another letter. He was going around telling devotees, Prabhupada's denying love, the basic principles of love. So I was wondering what this was all about. And I found out later that Prabhupada wrote to him and said he can't live with his boyfriend. And at the same time become, you know, do service as one of the leaders in the movement. So he was going around telling people that Prabhupada's denying the basic principles of love. So if we are in that conception of life, in which modern society is getting into that conception of life, then it all seems very, you know, this is just fanaticism. They're denying love in the material world. And this is going to become more and more prominent in Kali Yuga. One senator in California has introduced a bill into the assembly that would make it legal for men to have sex with boys. So this is how Kali Yuga is going on. People don't think it's wrong. They think you're wrong for thinking that it was wrong. That you're the problem. So these things will advance more and more as Kali Yuga goes on. And only if one has some basic knowledge, like we're not this body, and that Krishna is God, can be one saved from this horrible age of Kali Yuga, where the animals will become, when you say you're like an animal, the animals become insulted. How dare you say this person's like us? We're not so degraded. At least we follow principles. This person doesn't follow any principle. Matter of fact, in his next lifetime, he won't even become an animal. He's not qualified to become an animal. How can you say he's like an animal? This is embarrassing for us. He's going to probably become a coronavirus if he's lucky. He does some pious activity. So we have to become convinced like that, or else we'll be just wasting our time, like practically everyone else in this age is wasting their time in ignorance, thinking themselves very advanced and educated, having an opinion about everything, but don't even know who they are. They want to tell everyone else who they are, what they should be doing, but they don't even know who they are, or what they're supposed to be doing. Therefore, they're simply entering into the darkest regions of existence. And what is it all about? Adanta gobhira vishatam tamizram punak punas charvita charavanana. It's simply chewing the chewed. Same eating, same sleeping, same sex, same defense, over and over again, and they're thinking that something's going to be new. This year it's going to be different. Although every year it's the same. Every year it's the same old, new inventions coming out, new technology, new gadgets, and people are the same miserable, bewildered, ignorant people they were the year before. So these things are not going to change society. Only when people understand reality and act according to it is there any progress in society. Otherwise, people will simply continue to go down, following these blind leaders. They themselves are blind. Therefore, one should hear, conclusion is, we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, with some submission, try to understand it and apply it, and then our lives will become meaningful, and we can understand how to make other people's lives meaningful too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. We have a microphone.
Thank you for the class. Sobering class. Reminding us of basics. I wanted to ask about political correctness. I was wondering if this is also a feature of Kali Yuga, that it's censoring the kind of, you know, a lot of preaching now is very soft, and we have to be very sensitive to people's feelings. Otherwise, they will leave the movement, etc., or they will not join. So how do we go about that?
Well, I don't know. We're not trying to become insensitive, but at the same time, unless we tell the truth, unless appropriately, then we're just wasting our time. We say your body's changing, they go, oh my God, what did he say? Call the police, have him arrested. He accused my body of changing. He doesn't love my body. He wants it to be different. Oh, we're just wasting our time. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, your body's not changing. Krishna's wrong in Bhagavad Gita, you know. He's outdated, you'll have to forgive him. He actually thought he was male, a Purusha or something. You know, they always think like that, these males. No, we have to preach according to time, place, and audience, but we have to tell the Krishna conscious philosophy. Adopt it, not to change the philosophy, but maybe adopt the terminology or something so people can understand. Otherwise, we're not into politics in the sense that, well, we are into reality. Unless we tell people reality, then we're wasting our time and we're wasting their time. We're going to have to listen to the nonsense we say. We'll become bewildered just by speaking. Better not to say anything. We're going to bewilder ourselves. Anything else? Now, if you want to preach in America, in the universities, they have, at least the last count was 72 names for male and female for a sex designation. That was the last count. That you're male or female, which is not considered proper to be, or you're female, male, or male, male, female, or something like that. It goes on and on. So by the time you get done, you know, you don't know who you are. Of course, people don't know who they are, but they're afraid to say anything because, excuse me, she, the pronoun may be not appropriate. You may get thrown off the campus for, oh, you're insulting me, ah! Call the campus police, he insulted me, oh, I feel so bad. They're called snowflakes. Called snowflakes because they're so delicate. You just have the wrong intonation. You say, male. Oh, I feel so bad. I can't continue on anymore. You insulted me so badly. I'm so hurt. So that's where they're coming to. The wind blows on them. And they just fall over. So cruel. No tolerance. Because the more one becomes involved in material sense gratification, the less one can tolerate. And one becomes completely intolerant of anything. And therefore, one can't tolerate the weather, he can't tolerate association with other people, can't tolerate one's own mind. One simply winds up to be simply unable to do anything, go anywhere, say anything, anything. One is completely intolerant of everything.
Just to say one story about Prabhupada before we
begin. Disintolerance. Prabhupada was in South India, and he was giving a lecture. And all these very prominent Brahmins were there. And the devotee who gave this interview said he could sense something was wrong. So at the end of the lecture, they invited Prabhupada to the back room. And Prabhupada was sitting there, and they started to yell at Prabhupada. You've destroyed the Hindu race, you have all these malechas, you're making them into devotees, you're getting them to chant Hare Krishna, you're spoiling everything. So Prabhupada didn't say anything, he just sat there. It was Hare Keshu who was giving it, and he said he heard this, and he was about to enter into the room and give them a few lessons. Because he was a big guy at that time, a big, strong guy. So he opened the door, and he was just, and Prabhupada just put out his hand and stopped him. Hare Krishna. And they went on, you know, yelling at Prabhupada, and got louder and louder, and Prabhupada just sat down there humbly and humbly. And after some time, they just ran out of steam. They had nothing to say. And they became aware of the irony. They were claiming they were Brahmins, and Prabhupada was spoiling the Hindu tradition, and they were acting like animals. But Prabhupada was so tolerant and humble that after a while, they just gave up and got up and left. And defeated them just by his humility and tolerance. So, this is a good example to follow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.